The following episode may contain inappropriate material. Listener discretion is advised.
You're listening to the PVD Cast with John Orlando.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another installment of the PVD Cast. I am your humble host and your podcast purveyor, John Orlando, and welcome to episode number 437. I hope all is well with you out there, and thank you very much for checking out this edition of the PVD Cast. Before I talk about my guest and introduce him, I'd like to talk about something else that's going to be happening in the near future. As many of you know, once a month, I go on the Pop Culture Cosmos podcast and talk professional wrestling with the host, Gerald Glassford. We like to call those episodes The State of Pro Wrestling. And, you know, we tackle whatever particular topics are happening in the last couple of weeks prior to that recording. Well, for this upcoming installment, which I believe is going to drop either later this week or definitely next week, we're going to do something that, quite frankly, is a little bit unique. It's something that's taken quite a bit of work to put together this very special episode. And that's all I'm going to say. I don't want to ruin it. I'm just going to leave it at that. I'm not going to hype it anymore. I'm not going to jinx it by saying anything about the episode. I'm just telling you, if you love pro wrestling, you're definitely going to want to check out the episode. Just search for Pop Culture Cosmos in Google. You'll find all the links to the social media website and all that jazz. And again, keep your eyes and ears out from me or from Gerald as to when that episode drops. Because just to repeat, I'm really looking forward to this episode. Well, let's talk about this episode of the PVD Cast. Joining me is a fellow podcaster, a man that has the Dueling Aces podcast and the Perfect 10 podcast. His name is George G3, and he is joining me to talk about his career in podcasting as well as sports, since Dueling Aces is really heavy on the sports content. So we're going to talk about that podcast. We're going to talk about the current hiatus that Perfect 10 is on. We'll talk about sports, including the Olympics. And we're even going to cover WWE SummerSlam. George is a big wrestling fan, and he's in Vermilion, which I think is only about a 40-minute trip to Cleveland. And in fact, some of the hosts, the co-hosts, if you will, for Dueling Aces is going. So we talk about a lot of things. So I'm not going to waste a lot of time. I want to get right into our conversation. But before we do that, you know what time it is. That's right. It's not Vader time. It's not Tiffy time. It's time to tell you about World's Greatest Comics. That's right. They are your one-stop shop for all your comic book-related needs. They've got everything that you need for your fandom, whether we're talking about single issues, collections, graphic novels, hundreds upon hundreds of back issues, a great pull system. They've got you covered. So, you need to stop by the store if you're in Central Ohio. They're located at 5974 Westerville Road in Westerville, Ohio. But you can also check them out online. WGComics.com is their web address. And they're very active on the Facebook page. Just look for at WGComics. And once again, I want to thank all the fine folks at World's Greatest Comics for their support and patronage throughout the years. It really means a lot to me, and I can't thank them enough. All right, with that being said, I'm going to throw it to a quick break. And on the other side of the break, I'm going to talk to fellow podcaster George G3. Ladies and gentlemen, this evening, I am joined by a fellow podcaster. He is the man behind the Dueling Aces podcast. Of course, I'm talking about George G3. George, how you doing, friend?
Doing all right, John. Doing all right. How about yourself?
I'm doing well. You haven't been on in a while. So, and in fact, I think this is wrong. I looked it up and I'm like, there's no way that it was episode 282. I'm like, no, no way. But it might be. But I'm like, no, it can't be. George was on before. Like, that's 3 years ago. Oh, or am I just getting to that age where like time goes so fast I don't even recognize it?
I know. I was thinking the same thing when you asked. I said, oh my gosh. I said, it's been a little while. I said, but yeah. I mean, shoot, I think the logo's changed about 3 or 4 times.
By the way, that is a sweet new logo, by the way. You sent me a JPEG of it for promotional purposes. That's pretty slick. Where'd you get that done or who did that?
I've done it.
Okay.
I've gotten really good with Canva as of late, and ironically have helped a sports author with his own stuff, and a couple friends with their podcasts, and actually even setting up their intro videos, their exit videos, their Facebook logos and cover pictures. I mean, I've branched off into something new that I'm having a blast doing. I even did the kids' baseball digital like rookie cards for them all. So,
well, that's cool.
You know, I've gotten pretty solid with the Canva, and no offense to my cohort Ben Jose Harris, who was the original designer of my logo, and how it's gone through the lettering has always, the font and everything has stayed the same up until this new relaunch, and I really liked it. I said, you know, we're really getting into a little bit more, you know, it brought more of our, you know, the panel, I should say, and with us, how we goof around and, you know, we, you know, rib on each other a little bit here and there and who everybody is and, you know, just making it a little bit more fun.
Well, we'll talk about those co-hosts or partners in crime, whichever you prefer. And but let's start off by letting the listeners know, if they tune in to an episode of Dueling Aces, what can they expect?
A roundtable of everyday people who, guys and gals, we've had a couple of the gals chiming in from everywhere. I mean, we've got a couple friends out in California. Sam's over in New Jersey. Dave and Zolt are up in Michigan. Doug's in Michigan. Me, Bruiser, Adam, Clint, we're all here in Ohio. So fandom from everywhere, which is nice. You know, you're not just clogging it with just one type of fandom, you know, one team or anything. Everybody has their own fandom. And that's the nice thing about our group is that it's multiple sports, sports entertainment, sports in general, NASCAR, wrestling, football, baseball, basketball, soccer. As I used to say back when I was on Blog Talk Radio, it was kick back, relax, you know, grab a glass and enjoy the audible ride, you know. And that's basically what it is just sit back, just enjoy it. I mean, there's no, you know, serious context of a lot of stuff. It's just a bunch of folks sitting around talking sports and, you know, just like if you're hanging out in your own living room, shooting the breeze or sitting out on the back deck, you know, and that's, you know, that's exactly what it's meant to be, is just meant to be fun. And, you know, the great part about it is that the guys love is they're not like handcuffed to it per se. You know, if they can make it on that Monday night, they make it. If they don't, they don't. And like I said, there's always a couple of us on all the time. And it's fantastic. Even myself, I've missed some of my own. Bryce is in baseball and sometimes the Monday night baseball games, and Zolt runs with it and he takes the show, you know, and runs it. And like I said, that's the nice thing about it is, and a lot of the guys actually even look forward to it. You know, it's, hey, it's part of my routine. I like being on with the guys. It gives us kind of our getaway type thing. And they just naturally have a good time doing it. And I think that's fantastic that it has grown to that. I truly do. I really, really do appreciate all the guys who are a part of it. They do a great job.
Well, let's talk about those co-hosts, or in the cases of when you're not here, the hosts, Zolt, Bruiser, Adam, Clint, as you mentioned, many others. And so excuse me if I didn't mention you by name, I apologize. Where did you meet these folks? Were some of these hosts already friends from other avenues in life?
Yes. Actually, my original co-host, Doug, who's also a panelist, he and I were co-workers, IT tech co-workers. And then I met Zolt in the same company. And then as, you know, COVID hit, of course, what's everybody going to do? Everybody's sitting around doing nothing. And I said, hey, guys, grabbed a whole bunch of them. And I went, well, since we're all at home doing nothing, I'm like, I've got a couple of ideas. And let's run with it if you're interested. And we'll turn around and chat about, I think our first one was, who would you have as your ultimate fantasy football or baseball team? And we did like one episode of each of those and then just spawned on to the next thing and the next thing. And like I said, a few of them I met through a couple other internet chats and pages that just popped up in my newsfeed, which is been a little, you know, it's a little strange when all of a sudden, you know, in your newsfeed, it's like, hey, here's somebody else's show. And it's like, okay, I've never even heard of it, but yet it pops up in my feed and ta-da, there I am. So that's, you know, that, and that's the fun part about Facebook is, you know, it'll do that once in a blue moon and you just connect with other people. And next thing you know, you're on each other's shows, just yeah. like this, you know?
Yeah.
COVID kind of spawned it into something a lot larger, and I've had an absolute blast doing it even ever since. Every Monday night, roughly, right now we're bouncing around our time at the moment, but generally we try to get it kicked off by about 9 o'clock at the moment. We used to try to run 8 to 10. Now we're kind of a little bit different, going 9 to 10:30-ish or so. But you know, for a couple hours, like I said, we're just sitting around, just shooting the breeze, talking sports and whatever else happens to derail us.
I laugh because when you mention COVID, it's that is the, I'd say 9 out of 10 people that are doing podcasting credit that time period for helping them be creative with their podcasts, you know, or even in the case of some people getting into podcasting because it was such an unusual time in our world. And so let's back up a little bit. Did you start podcasting before the yes. pandemic? Okay. Yep. So talk to me as to why you decided to get into it.
There's a certain four-letter network radio station over in Cleveland with a very unappreciative co-host from Denver, Colorado that a lot of Cleveland people do not like. And I happen to disagree with him and really didn't want to, you know, have a good conversation of the disagreement back and forth, and actually just dropped the call right on me. And even the main host turned around and said, that was totally uncalled for and you should have let him finish. You do not like a good argument or a confrontation, he said, and you need to learn to grow up and get used to that. And he told him that right on the air. And I said, you know what? That's not a bad idea. And so I just happened to talk to my, like I said, talk to my friend Doug, and I told him what I wanted to do and comment on different things. And it started off, like I said, on Blog Talk and kind of ran through like a script type thing of what we're going to talk about. And when actually before COVID actually started, I looked at Facebook and doing a Facebook Live and said, you know, this isn't a bad idea. Do a vidcast. So not just calling it as a podcast, but I've actually kind of bumped it and said, well, it's a video cast. So I just said, it's a vidcast. I started doing it solo at first, which definitely looked a little odd as I go back to see a few of them. I'm like, it's a good thing I found, I think, Zoom at the time. So I think, yeah, it was a good idea that I had that set up real fast, very quickly. because boy, it could have been rough if it wasn't for that. That's for sure.
So can we go back for a minute? So just because I'm a little bit confused, I want to make sure that I get the story straight. So you started podcasting because of a bad experience with another radio station or another podcast?
With a radio station, yeah.
With a radio station, okay. So that was kind of the catalyst for you doing your own thing.
Absolutely. Okay. Because that was an insane... Everybody always sits there and screams at the radio in the car going, you know, he's a total idiot. You know, it's like, but the one thing that I learned a while ago, actually, because I would actually even call in when I lived up near Detroit, and I would call into the radio stations, and one of the hosts actually said, just don't come with a line, you know, as far as what your take is. You know, have some thought, have some depth behind it, make it credible, make it a decent argument. I took that to heart the first time I heard it. And I said, that makes absolute sense because most people will just call in and just say, oh, you're an idiot. You don't know what you're talking about. He's great. Well, tell him why he's great. Mm-hmm. And you don't have to tell him that they're an idiot. That'll get you cut off in a heartbeat. Mm-hmm. You know, when you want to just degrade somebody. A lot of stations just will not deal with that. And so I learned that right off the get-go. And so that's why when I did call in and I had that argument, I had a lot of good points. And when the main host even backs me up on it and says so, I said, boy, don't let me meet him in public. I said, because we will have the rest of that conversation one day. I said, and he can't run away. That's exactly why I wanted to do it. It really fueled the fire for it.
So what do you say is the best and worst parts of podcasting?
I don't know if there's a worst part outside of the fact that, you know, we're in the public eye just as much as any other true celebrities are. I mean, we literally have put ourselves out there to be attacked on multiple levels, you know, and it can happen to any of us at any time. Mm-hmm. I believe that would be about the only downside to it. The plus side to it, one of my other shows, The Perfect 10, actually, we got a phone call from a local actual station, WOBL, to have the podcast put on live radio. That was last year. That was last year, January through June. We aired once a month. I think it was the third Wednesday of the month. We aired an episode and even went in the studio live once with the owner himself, and we did the top 10 sandwiches. And he contacted us, though. That was the best part. He contacted us. We didn't contact him. He contacted us and said, listen, I've shown your show to the staff in the station, you know, the few folks that were there, and they loved the show. They loved the idea. And when we went and we did the live, we had so many people calling in, which was fantastic. And several folks we did not know. There were a few that we did, but there were several that we did not know. And one older sounding gentleman even said to us, he said, this is the best concept for a show I have heard in a very long time. He said, it reminds me a little bit of David Letterman. He says, but you put your own spin on it. And he said, what a great idea. And I said, I looked at Adam, who is the idea really behind the brains behind the idea. And I said, there you go, dude. I said, it's working. It totally is working. I said, and how cool is that, that you can actually have that happen? And not a lot of folks can say that. Mm-hmm. And you know, that was one of the best, I think one of the best things that has ever happened with us so far. And like I said, we just enjoy doing it. And if it brings humor to somebody who's having a rough day, so be it, you know. I mean, because that's what we're here. That's why we want to do this. We want to do this to entertain people, and it's supposed to be entertaining and fun, and that's why we want to do it. So I would say that that's the best part about it.
Is The Perfect 10 still an ongoing project?
Right now, we happen to be taking a very serious hiatus at the moment. Life has kind of spun a little sideways for a multitude of us, Clint, Adam, and Gail. And that was the really fun part is when we did this and we happened to be on a hiatus, Clint and I took it over from when we were at a former station, and it was called something different. And we turned around and I was in the grocery store. We went ahead and we got a notification from one person. And then I was in the grocery store and a guy says he recognized me. And I said, well, maybe it was because, you know, at the bowling alley, my kids at the bowling, you know, big time. He goes, no, he goes, you do the top 10 show. And I was like, oh, and I said, hey, Clint, I says, I think we need to go back and do this again. And he said, oh, yeah, I guess so. I said, how ironic was it that somebody in a grocery store went, yeah, I know you, and I have never met this person. But yet they were friends of a mutual friend, and they said, you got to do it. And it, when we did, we relaunched it again. We definitely brought Adam in and get his wife, Gail, to bring in the woman's perspective on a top 10. The idea was to actually include my wife too, but my wife's like, no, she's I'm not getting on camera. No way. I was like, okay. But Gail's awesome. And it's funny when you have that husband and wife combo, you know, sharing the screen and, you know, them going back and forth and banter. It's awesome. Absolutely awesome. It's been on a little bit of a hiatus because we've asked for some ideas. There's a lot that we actually just go through, and you kind of hit that point of, all right, we need something new, something fresh. And sometimes it takes somebody else with another idea. And right now we're just kind of in on a hold, you could say, for the moment. But a lot of our stuff is, like I said, still on Facebook and YouTube still for watching at any time. I know a buddy of mine who has just been traveling from Michigan down to Indianapolis, and he said he went back to like the very first ones and just started listening to it on his drive back and forth. And he said, it's hysterical. He said, you guys are just too much. I said, thank you for the compliment.
Well, before we jump into a couple of sports-related topics, let's just talk about it. Where can folks find Dueling Aces? Run down the schedule, the outlets, all that stuff for us, George.
Sure. We're currently, as I said, sometimes we're on a little bit before 9, but generally we're on at 9, and we go till at the latest till about 11:30, if we make it that far. We're on Facebook, YouTube, Twitch, ironically, which is a nice little addition as well. Those are our three main ones that we go through. We utilize StreamYard.
Okay.
For our, and that's why it's kind of weird to see my, I know not many folks may see this, but it's weird to see my green screen in the poster blank back there. I'm like, okay, that's weird. My head is behind the green. I'm like, I'm usually not seeing that all the time. It's a little odd.
Yeah,
usually you know my what? Logos are back there.
I was gonna say, I knew exactly what it was for. I didn't even make a comment of it. I was like, I know what that's for. I mean, you know.
And that's the neat little thing too, because a lot of people, even if I'm doing a few vidcast interviews, I will actually have a little collage piece of Bryce up behind me almost 90% of the time, and it will change. So, okay. I believe I was with the Three Geeks one time, and somebody noticed. They're like, "Did that just change behind you?" Aren't? Oh yeah, it does. They're like, "Dude, that's cool." I said, "I know." I said, "I thought it was pretty slick too. It's throw a green screen inside of a poster frame, remove the plastic, and ta-da!
There you go.
Works out great."
Yeah. I'm going to interrupt my conversation with George for just one moment to talk to you about World's Greatest Comics. They are your one-stop shop for all your comic book-related needs. They've got single issues, collections, graphic novels, toys, comic book supplies, hundreds upon hundreds of back issues. They got you covered for your comic book fandom. So you need to stop by the store. They're located at 5974 Westerville Road in Westerville, Ohio. Or you can check them out online. WGComics.com is their web address. And they're pretty active on the Facebook page. Just search for at WG Comics.
Well, you talk that you cover a lot of sports with the show. And there's a big sporting event that is happening here, I believe, on Friday, if I remember correctly. Yes, Friday they kick it off. And that is the Olympics, the Summer Games. So I guess my question is, do you follow them? Are you a fan of the Olympics, George?
Yes, a casual Olympian fan, and it is hilarious that you definitely brought this up, because we were actually discussing it last night, and when we saw the list of the events, we all nearly about fell over because it was disturbing, of all things.
Because why was it disturbing? What was disturbing about it?
Breakdancing is an Olympic event.
Yes, it is.
And when I saw this, I had to scratch my head and go, I'm sorry, but the 80s called and said, you're late. You're way late.
Okay, but I'm intrigued by that. So, see, I'm going to be honest, George. I want to see how that goes. I want to see how that works. I'm fascinated by it because, you know, that was my, when I was growing up, you know, breakdancing was a hot thing. So I want to see how that works. I want to know everything about it. And I have a feeling that it's going to be, that we'll get a chance to watch breakdancing, but you'll have to be up at 3 a.m. on Peacock, you know, on a Monday night. You know what I mean? Like, it's going to be shoved way in the back of their broadcasting. You're not going to see that unless you really hunt for it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's almost like the archery. Bryce is into archery, so he really likes the archery. So we had to record archery 4 years ago when it was on at like 3:30 in the morning. I was like, oh, that is brutal. I said, well, thank goodness for the DVR.
Yeah.
The other one that was interesting to us, let me scroll down here, because we know that rugby is in, which is, which isn't bad, but trampolining? Really? Really? Trampolining. Bruiser already said, he's in for 2028. He's going to turn around and he needs his sponsorship for 2028 trampolining. I said, what on earth are they going to do with this?
Okay, that one I don't have an interest in because it is trampolining. I don't have an interest in that one. Breakdancing, yes, you've sold me on that one, but I don't have any connection to trampolining. I'm sure there's lots of, like, probably teenagers that, you know, have that trampoline in the backyard. They're gonna want to watch that, but it's out of my demographic for me.
I want to know how you qualify for
the
for the Olympic trampolining team. I would really like to know what critiques they had to have for trampolining. I mean, I know that. Hey, they took out baseball and softball, and I understand because it's right smack dab into their seasons, and it messed up with a lot of pro players coming back and forth, you know, during that time frame and injuries and such when that happened. So I get it. But trampolining, damn.
Okay, but I'm gonna rant for a minute about you mentioned about the baseball and how the players had to swap out. I'm not a fan of this idea of letting professional athletes in the Olympics. Never have been. So I'm just saying it right now, and I know this might get me in trouble, but I don't care. If Team USA, if you don't wipe the court with every basketball team in the tournament, what the hell are we doing?
Exactly. And that was, yeah, That, no, you're right.
Dominate.
Yep. I'm sorry. Golf? Why aren't the pro golfers on golf?
Exactly. Exactly. And by the way, I will say this right now before somebody says it or sends me an email about it. I feel the same way about the Winter Games. NHL players, sorry. If you're a current NHL player, you're riding the bench. Sorry. And I know people go, well, but Germany's allowed to, well, that Germany has like three guys that are good that are in the NHL. So, okay. So those three guys that used to play in the NHL, sure, they can play. I don't care because there's three of them. I get aggravated with that. There's no other sport other than basketball and hockey where, oh yeah, we'll let the professionals play.
Right. I remember when it used to be all amateur status.
Yeah.
And that's what it was supposed to be.
Absolutely.
But other countries didn't want to play by those rules. And they were just like, well, fine. You guys want to put the pros in? There's that really cool Olympic USA basketball team that came in and went, watch this.
Yeah.
And dominated. It's like, well, okay, fine. And then everybody cried about it. It's like, well, you want to put the pros in? We put the pros in.
Yes.
But no, I agree with you. I totally think it's just like if they're going to put bowling in, you put amateur bowlers in. You don't put professional bowlers in.
Well, I do enjoy the track and field events. And I was actually, so this is going to tie into our next topic real quick. But I looked today because I had heard about this about a month ago and it fell off my radar. But unfortunately, it seems that Brock Lesnar's daughter, Maya Lesnar, did not make the Olympic team for shot put.
Hmm.
Did you know she was a contender?
No, I did not.
Yes. Yes. That's Brock Lesnar. She goes to Colorado State, I believe. And she's racked up some impressive throws, but did not make the Olympic team. And by the way, she looks just like that.
Really?
Mm-hmm. I'm just gonna leave that there. I'm just okay. Let that out in the atmosphere. It's out in the ether. I'll let you all listening at home to make up your own mind.
Right.
Okay? But like, she looks just like that.
Google that later.
Yeah.
Yep, you are not far off at all.
She looks like that, doesn't she?
Yep, with Sable's hair. Totally. At least she got mom's hair. Thank God she got mom's hair and not dad's. Good grief. But no, I mean, we actually had this discussion last night as well. All of the primary Jerry Rice, Emmett Smith, Deion Sanders, we're starting to go through kids. Clemens, because Cody Clemens is Roger Clemens' kid in baseball. How they're not as good, you know, they're it's like it's almost watered down version. Joe Montana's sons weren't fantastic quarterback. Everybody argues like Joe Montana's one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time. Joe was a very good quarterback, but he was also a very good game manager. And nobody likes that terminology. But he was great because he could do both. You can be Tom Brady all day. Can Tom Brady game manage? No, Tom Brady cannot game manage. Tom Brady can sling it and wing it all day long. But game management, it's not his forte. Both Belichick and, I just brain farted Tampa Bay's coach. Both of those guys, they manage the game and he just played. When you've got a good balance like you had with Montana, and I'll even say John Elway, you can manage the game and you can play at the same time. That's pretty good consistency.
Okay, going on a similar tangent about this. Okay, so maybe some of the sons aren't living up to the expectations of the father. I also recently feel like when people start to compare Joe Montana to a Tom Brady or Joe Montana to an Aaron Rodgers or whatnot, I think sometimes we lose sight of the fact that the game has changed so radically you know what? Dan Marino had like a 40% completion rating. Well, that's because he had LT trying to murder him.
Right.
You know, and so
the rules have changed to the generations that we're classifying them as. Yeah. You are 100% correct. That's why you can't say, that's why I said Joe Montana is one of the greatest of all times. Because guess what? Bart Starr was the greatest of all time in his era. Jim Brown was the greatest of all time in his era. You've got Emmett Smith, Walter Payton, all different eras and all different generations of how the rules have changed and adapted and, you know, how they're favoring into, you know, ridiculous stats in some cases. But I mean, I'm sorry, but, you know, if Randy Moss had to go more across the middle like Jerry Rice did, I mean, I'm sorry, but Rob Gronkowski, I think if he had to go across the middle and he had linebackers headhunting him, whew, that career would be a lot shorter.
Yeah. Yeah.
Travis Kelce, the same way. Same way. The careers would be so short and so short lived. It wouldn't even be funny. Mm-hmm. You know? So I mean, kudos that yes, they've evolved the rules in a few matters for safety, but they've also evolved the rules in a lot of favoritism. Mm-hmm. And it's almost going to be, like we said, it may almost be fantasy football for real, real soon. Kind of like what they do for the Pro Bowl right now. It already pretty much is. They did flag football last. I was like,
yeah,
really, guys? Really? I mean, why bother?
Yeah, I agree. I think the Pro Bowl has become a joke over the last 4 or 5 years.
And it's sad. Mm-hmm. It's 100% sad. We said that the Pro Bowl, still, instead of having it at the end of the season, they should still actually make a week where there is a break. And especially with these, with the players wanting the 2 weeks of bye weeks, make that one just before the trade deadline and have a Pro Bowl or have your Pro Bowl right smack dab in the middle of the season. Make it count for something of who the home team will be for the Super Bowl or something, you know, make it worth something instead of just the pathetic attempt at money.
Yeah.
Because that's all it is.
Agreed. Well, let's talk about a city that's going to make some money this weekend, or next weekend, excuse me, not this weekend. And that would be, of course, Cleveland, because SummerSlam is going to be at First Energy Center on August 3rd. And, you know, you're not that far from Cleveland.
Nope, so, and half the panel's going.
I was going to ask, is anybody going?
Yes, half the panel's going. Bruiser actually is even going to the SmackDown the night prior as well. But yeah, Bruiser, Adam and Clint and Rob are all going to SummerSlam. And I said, great. I said, somebody needs to do live on the spot reporting. I was like, guys, I'll set up the link. I was like, you got to do some live reporting from there. I said, it would be just too much fun not to turn around and do that. I said, we've got to have that happen. It would be awesome to have that happen. And I'm looking forward to it because, yes, I always said that Cleveland should have been hosting the WrestleMania. I mean, Detroit did. Shoot, they put WrestleMania in New Jersey at MetLife Stadium, and it was chilly.
Yeah.
And guess what? It's the same weather here in Cleveland, dude. You can do WrestleMania in April in Cleveland. No problem. And by the way, our train subway rapid transit system runs all night long. It doesn't shut down at midnight.
Okay.
Well, sorry, Jersey.
Well, I got to say, I'm excited for it. I decided not to go because I think that if I'm going to go to another PLE or pay-per-views, we used to call them back in the day, I'm thinking that Indianapolis – one of the Indianapolis PLEs is where I'm going to go, you know, which is awesome that Indianapolis is getting got that deal. That's fantastic. So what matches are you looking forward to when it comes to SummerSlam?
Right now, I know they've been piecing it slowly together. A few of them, the Drew McIntyre, CM Punk. I have always been a big CM Punk fan. Look forward to any CM Punk match. So I'm that one, of course. Liv Morgan gotten the opportunity in the right place at the right time, you know, with injuries that happen. And, you know, she is a firecracker and a half, and I've always liked her character. And so super excited about that. And I know that it's technically like an upset type thing if she were to win, but I'm hoping that she does, just so it does keep, you know, the aggravation and the storyline thing going a little bit more, because I think that relationship between her and Rhea, it's really starting to work well. So those two main ones, and I know that the bloodline thing is still got a lot to evolve, mm-hmm. and we won't see a whole lot, but I think that around Survivor Series, I think that's when we'll get our juicy matches around then. As it leads into next year's WrestleMania. So I know we got baby steps still coming with those guys as well.
I will say right now, you mentioned you're most looking forward to the CM Punk Drew McIntyre matchup. I have to give credit to McIntyre. Prior to this run, I've been bored with him. I'm like, oh, okay, he's here. All right. But he has really elevated his character and elevated the villain that he is. And plays very well off of CM Punk. And those two, I think, are going to have a great match. You know, and I also really, really love the Bloodline, because just when you thought the Bloodline was over, in comes this whole... And for me, being a movie nerd, it's reminiscent of all those mobster films.
Mm-hmm.
You know, where the young upstart is going to... He's not going to follow the rules. He's to hell with the code, to hell with honor. I'm going to run, make money and run things the way I want to run it. It's fantastic. I think it's been great.
I like the writing for it, too. Writing for it has been really, really good. And I'm going to say it because it needs to be said. Triple H is running the shop, and that's why it's getting much better.
Yeah, absolutely. He's in touch with what people want. He's taking gambles. I mean, no, under no circumstances would have Vince allowed working agreements with Impact Wrestling, with All Japan. Well, Impact, sorry, TNA. It's TNA now, but TNA, All Japan. I mean, it's mind-blowing, but it's great, because the WWE has really reached a point that it's exciting. Like, I want to turn in on Raw and SmackDown and watch and see what happens, where a few years ago, I'll just read about it on the internet, you know?
Right. And the Royal Rumble was fantastic saw a few people who you had no idea who they were. And you're like, well, where did they come from? Well, it gives exposure to a little bit of everybody. And back when Vince started absorbing territories, that's what he did. He gave you views of people who you hadn't seen.
Mm-hmm.
You know, to the broad span audience. Mm-hmm. And I think Vince lost sight of that, which is why I think the new setup, everybody's going back to that, saying, hey, there's Japan, there's Germany. You know, when Triple H was doing the NXT UK thing, oh my God, what a brilliant move. I mean, a brilliant move. You brought in so much good talent from across the pond. I mean, I would even watch NXT UK because mm-hmm. it was so cool to see totally different people that you hadn't seen before, or different skill sets, you know, different moves that you had no idea existed. And it was just like, wow, this is fantastic. A broader spectrum. And if they did an NXT Japan, sign me up. I'm in.
Yeah, I think you're 100% correct on all of those points, because I think that the writing has been better. There seems to be a much better creative flow. It seems like, you know, especially here's another prime example, the Wyatt Six. Supposedly Bo Dallas has been given a lot of leeway to do whatever he wants with the tail. I hope that, and they've done a great job, and I hope they continue to do it, and they're smart with that. And I think they have been so far, but I think my thing that I'm afraid of with the Wyatt Six is that they're undefeated for 3 weeks, and then all of a sudden you start seeing the Dexter Loomises take a fall and Eric Rowan take a loss. And it's like, no, those guys and gal should be like dominant for 3 or 4 or 5 months before that happens, before they start having folks lose.
Yeah, I've been in rumors, even after WrestleMania, rumors were flying around that they were going to bring Bo in, kind of tweak that continuality of the Wyatt. And I was concerned. And when I saw that there were so many, I was even more concerned because I was like, Bray kept it to quite a minimum of the 3 to 4, and that was it.
Mm-hmm.
So to make it such a large group, I'm like, for the way that Loomis got pushed with NXT, I wasn't such a big fan of it. It was really hard to get through that. And I said, boy, you guys are just bringing him in to try to make another push. And I don't think that's such a hot idea. I really don't. I would have made this a solo project for Bo. I would have tried to make it keep the continuation of, well, because everybody knows it's his brother.
Mm-hmm.
I would have played a psychological aspect of that and made it a one-man deal.
Mm-hmm.
I think it would have played off a lot better. And even say you had Alexa Bliss once in a blue moon kind of tease something back and forth with it, I think you could have really gotten almost a good 18 months out of this. If it would have been done that way. But this was my concern too, is it's a bigger group. And like you said, all of a sudden you're going to see loss. It's like, nope, that shouldn't be happening.
Mm-mm. Yeah,
I agree 100% with you on that, big time.
Well, time will tell next week if the WWE continues that hot streak of and fantastic shows, in fact, fantastic television. And we'll have to wait and see. But SummerSlam shaping up to be a huge event. So as we're getting close to time here, George, let's talk real quickly about any upcoming episodes of Dueling Aces that you would like to highlight, or are you still trying to set the schedule?
Next week we've got a couple of the guys are off on their own personal assignment stuff that they've got going on. But actually, this upcoming weekend is the National Sports Card Show here in Cleveland at the IX Center.
I forgot about that.
Yeah, that's happening this weekend. So ironically, I've got a few friends who are traveling up for that or traveling from out of state to come to that. So I'm looking forward, hopefully on Saturday, to meeting up with them at the show there as well. I know that they've got a very ridiculous lineup of folks to get autographs, which people will spend thousands of dollars and several hours to stand in line to get those. It's nice that the convention has come back because it was not here. It was in San Diego. Especially when the IX Center was closed for a certain amount of time and now is reopened. I know they just had the auto shows there as well, which went very well. So it's very exciting to see that the National Sports Card Convention is back too. It is really cool. So we're looking forward to that this weekend. And like I said, for next week, Monday, I know that we're going to probably prep for fantasy football because that's right around the corner too. So we will also have our NFL prediction for each division and who we think will end up in the Super Bowl, who won't end up in the Super Bowl, as well as everybody else's opinion who wants to jump in and catch us, because that's what we're about. We're not bashful about, not sharing any comments. We'll take on anybody who wants to comment, anybody who wants to jump on. It's an open invitation, man. Like I said, it's just a bunch of us sitting around talking sports and everybody's invited.
All right, you want to let the folks know where they can find you on the internet, either through personal social media or websites websites and social media for Dueling Aces?
Like I said, just right now, straight through Facebook, we've got Dueling Aces and Perfect 10 is there as well. The spinoff from Dueling Aces, I know we've never talked about it.
Uh-oh.
There is a spinoff There are very few episodes. The show is called You're Out of Bounds. It's a little bit of the Outside the Lines, a little bit from ESPN, and kind of took that approach to it to talk about certain sports topics. Zoltan and I covered the Houston Texans, interesting upper management a few years back, as well as Ryan and I interviewed Gordy Gronkowski, the eldest of the Gronkowski brothers, who actually played with the LA Angels farm system. And we had a very awesome interview with him, chatted about baseball the whole time and had an absolute blast, and is also a good personal friend as well.
Well, that's cool. All right. So check those out whenever you get the opportunity to do so. George, thanks for coming on. We're going to have to do this more frequently. I can't believe it. I still am like, there's got to be somewhere, somehow. It's not been 3 years. There's no way. But I don't know. Time flies. What can you say?
Absolutely. Yeah, totally. It's like, hey, let's try it in another 6 months, maybe.
All right. Well, with that, George, thanks again for coming on. Appreciate it.
You're very welcome, John. Anytime, my friend. Anytime.
And with that, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to throw it to a quick break. And on the other side of the break, I'll be back to wrap up the episode. Well, there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. My conversation with fellow podcaster George G3. And boy, he's really fired up about this trampoline event in the Olympics. But nonetheless, I want to thank George for taking some time out of his busy schedule to sit down and chat with me. And definitely check out the Dueling Aces podcast. And when the Perfect 10 reappears, so to speak, definitely check that one out as well. And so now it's about time for me to tell you where you can get in touch with me if you have a question about this episode or any episode of the PVD cast for that matter. First of all, you can be old school and shoot me an email. JohnOrlando@PVDcast.com is the email address. You can also find me on X. Just search for @PVDMVP. And you can always leave me a message over on the Facebook, Instagram, and Threads account. Just look for @PVDcast. Now, maybe you want to let some folks know about where they can catch this podcast. Well, there's a bunch of different avenues for that as well. The PVDcast is available at PVDcast.com, the online home of yours truly. It's also available through all of those major podcasting outlets and apps. All you have to do is go to that app search bar, put in PVDcast. Sometimes you have to put John Orlando after it, but you should find it. And if you are listening through one of those apps or outlets, please rate, review, and subscribe. Rating and reviewing helps me out in the algorithm, and subscribing means you never miss an episode of the PVD cast. But alas, there's one more avenue you can take to hear the PVD cast. That is through the Facebook page, because every Wednesday night at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, I do a little live broadcast of the week's episode. So that's an easy way to check out what's going on with the PVD cast. So you pick, whether you're talking about PVDcast.com, your own favorite app or outlet, or the Facebook page, any of those three will get you the podcasting goodness that you so desire. All right, with that being said, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to get on out of here. I want to thank you one more time for checking out the episode, and I shall chat at each and every one of you later. Stay righteous, stay independent. Stay safe and healthy. Following has been a presentation of John Orlando Enterprises, LLC, copyright 2024.